You pray with me. Most holy and magnificent God, who knows the hairs on our head. In this time, we invite you to open us up to your Holy Spirit that we might know you more deeply and hear you more clearly. Pray that my words will be helpful to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So on a few occasions, I have brought up in sermons, and certainly we've talked about this in Bible study, I mentioned that one of the challenges of Scripture is familiarity. Think for a moment about a text that you can say without even thinking, which I guess is a little counterintuitive to say think about what you can think about without thinking. Maybe it's something like, "For God so loved the world," or "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm talking about those verses that, you know, just kind of roll right off your tongue and are maybe your favorite verses to quote or to say, "Is this is my top list." Well, just about any list of top quoted scriptures are going to include Micah 6:8. Honestly, it's probably the one I call my favorite. It's short and concise, and yet it still packs this big message in just a words. What does God require? Justice, love, mercy, walk humbly. It can just flow right off the tongue. The challenge is that when verses become really familiar, like Micah 6:8, we can become numb to the deeper meaning. Not because we mean to, but because the text becomes ordinary instead of the extraordinary that first made it pop for you. Or worst, it becomes the words that we say and still believe, mind you, but they become the words that we say without thinking because they are so common. And so we just say them, what does God require to do justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with Him? Yes, of course, that's what God requires of us. That's all I need to think about. It's not that we mean to do it, but when we say things over and over again, sometimes they can lose some of their meaning. So when a text starts to become like that, that's when it's time to take a deep dive again. Find that bit that initially sparked it for you. And that's what I want to do tonight with this text. Because honestly, initially when I was going through the texts that were on this week's lectionary calendar, I almost skipped over this because it is so familiar. And yet, maybe that's why we should talk about it. Now, this deep dive, I want you to know, is going to take only the next 10 minutes. Don't worry, I'm not going to be going over hours and hours. Laughter. You know, don't have to worry, I'm going to stick to about 10 minutes here. But we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive. And we're going to start with thinking about what this passage is. What's most important about this passage is understand that it's coming from God. So God is speaking to the prophet Micah. And God is at this point of feeling a little bit at a loss. And so God is turning to the people, not so much an accusation exactly, but imploring them, speaking through Micah, saying, "We had a deal. We made an agreement. I carried my part. Why do you continue to turn away from me?" This passage then turns into something that might look kind of like we've had on Capitol Hill the last few weeks. God has opened court and is presenting a case for having not lived up to the deal that was worked out after the escape from Egypt and the establishment of them not just as a people, because when they were in Egypt, they were a people, but then when they left Egypt, they became not just a people, they became God's people. And that was all part of this deal. And so God is coming to the people with this case to find out why is it they are no longer living up to the promises that they had made. And God is saying to them, why, the way you're practicing your faith, the way you're living this out, is missing the most important part. God's here prosecuting a case that says you have lost your focus, and the case is not so much meant to cast judgment, as meant as it's called them to a course correction to say, okay, this is where we came from. This is what we agreed to be. This is where you are. This is where I want you to go. So God is inviting them not so much to bring a condemnation on them, not to tear them down and say, you are terrible people for turning away from me. There's not really a fire and brimstone to this. There's not really a accusing as in, turn to me or you're no longer under the covenant. There's no, there's not a sense of threat. And yet, God is still calling them to this course correction. Part of the way we see this is God, through Micah, is calling on the people to rise up and plead their cases to the mountains, which is kind of, you know, very poetic language, but it's also biblical speak. You know, you need to come plead your case to the heavens, to the high and lofty, to the strength of God, because mountains were strong and high, and mountains were things that could not be moved by people. And this is who God is inviting them to plead their case to, but also recognize the mountains as part of God's creation. So God has created everything, set all of this in motion, and also created us. And God says, don't come plead your case to me. Plead this to all of creation. You stand before not just me, God. You stand before creation. God reminds the people of all that God has done and then turns to the people and says, all you're doing is offering me lip service. You come with your burnt offerings because you think that's what you're supposed to do. But I want more than just your empty actions. I don't want empty actions. I don't want empty devotion. I want your heart. God responds this way because the people are asking, well, what should we be doing? More burnt offerings? Which is kind of like us saying, God, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to sing a few extra songs in church? Maybe say a few extra special prayers? We don't have to necessarily mean them, but we'll just, you know, tuck them in there. That'll be good, right, God? That's what you want, God. Just a few minutes. Touch up the edges of it. Make it real nice. Is that what you want, God? God turns them and still believing in God's people and says, it isn't those superficial things that I want. What God truly wants is for you to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. It's not just to do justice. It's not just to love mercy. And it's more than doing just these things on their own. It's walking with God. Because God wants more than just our empty actions. God wants something more from us. God wants something that is transformative for us. Honestly, this is what I think a lot about when I plan it. Because worship in some ways is, you know, I know we're more traditional worship style community. We don't have the exciting worship bands with the latest songs that just came out. We sing songs that are sometimes 400 years old. I know those aren't the newest things. And I think about why we are doing what we do in worship. And you should know that as I plan worship for us, as Ellie helps me plan worship, as anyone else who happens to come by to help us plan worship, as we do it, it's not meant to be just plugging things in. It's really meant to be thinking about, why are we going to pray here? Why are we singing here? Why are we going to include communion this week? And thinking through exactly how these things mean more than just actions we do in worship. And I really hope for you all that's something that you also experience. Because I really want this to be more than going through emotions. And I want it to be more than just myself going through emotions. Because I'll be honest, there's sometimes, some Sundays, I'm thinking about what I'm doing the sermon, and then we've got the prayer, and then we're doing the sermon, and then we're doing the offering, and I'm thinking about how to get to the next thing, maybe through these words so I can get to this next thing. And I'll be honest, sometimes I am going through the motions, but realizing that God doesn't need me to go through the motions. Because if the motions don't mean anything, they don't really mean much to God. God wants something more. God doesn't need me to say another prayer or sing another song, recite the most eloquent of sermons if my heart isn't in it. The truth is that God doesn't need any of that. God will be just fine if we don't say a prayer. But God wants something for us, and God wants us to live a life that is, to live lives that are transformed and transformative. And that means holding something deeper. I had this image in my head as I was writing the sermon of you getting into the middle of a still pool, like a swimming pool, standing there, perfectly still. That's okay. But what God really wants for us is not to stand in the middle of the still pool, but God wants us to make waves, disrupt the status quo. God wants more than just standing in the midst. Sometimes we need to find ways of finding deeper meaning, but also of letting go of things. Think about it this way. I'm assuming most of you, as you came to campus, either this school year or maybe the very first time you came to campus, you came with all of the stuff you thought you needed, at least. And then throughout the semester, those who have had an end of the first school year, you've slowly accumulated more stuff. Maybe your dorm room is starting to fill up at this point in the school year. I know mine always did. I'll tell you this, as someone who just bought a house, having more space does not solve that problem. You just find ways to fill up all the space. And then by the end of the semester, when it's time to move out of your dorm, thankfully I don't have to move out of my house, hopefully ever. but by the time you're moving out of your dorm, it's time to let go of some things. It's to look at those things that you brought with you at the beginning of the semester. Maybe things that you thought you would need that you just never ended up using. Maybe it's the things that you thought or that you accumulated that you're like, oh yeah, I'll use that again, and then you haven't. And so you begin to purge things a little bit. You're getting rid of the stuff that's not going to be needed in the future. You're getting rid of your excess. Well, there's a Presbyterian theologian who said this is exactly what Micah is calling us to look at our lives and to see the places where we have excess baggage. It's time to get rid of our excess baggage so we can focus in on what is most important, on doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. And so if being committed to doing an abundance of burnt offerings is really just excessive action, what are the things we can boil down to that which is most important? What I find interesting about this passage, though, and this was kind of what I was talking about a little bit in the beginning, is despite all of the accusations, God still comes to the people believing in him and in their ability to turn back, with an invitation to turn back. God still believes in us, our ability to say, so I haven't been doing this, and there's still an opportunity for me. But God is always inviting us to honor the principles of the faith we claim and to live into those and say, so this is where maybe you haven't done it here, but this is a way you can do it for him. Because the truth is, all of us are always growing and changing and learning, and so all of us need to be continuing. Even if we've been doing this well, we can always do everything better. Now, we of course could go the complete opposite way in reading this text. Drop all of the religious pretense. So, you know, that means you probably don't have to come to worship on Sunday nights. It's not that important, right? Or we don't need to do communion. Probably don't need to sing any songs or say any prayers. Let's just do justice and love mercy, right? Except for that walk humbly with God piece. So we can go from doing the worship things with no meaning to dropping all of those and doing the justice and mercy. And that also isn't the right way because it needs to be all. God is inviting us to remember to do these things in God's name. And to remember as well that sometimes those things that we struggle with finding meaning in, I'll be honest, days that I take communion and it is me dipping bread, taking a bit of bread and dipping it in a cup of bread. And that's what it is in my heart that day, even though it's something more. But even on those days, when we gather together and we do this thing, we're not just doing this thing because it's actually connecting us, whether we're aware of it or not. It's connecting us to the traditions of our faith. It's connecting us with 2,000 years of Christian history. It's connecting us to the saints that have come before us and those saints that will come after us. In doing this thing, it's more than just getting a pinch of bread and dipping it in cheese. We're connecting ourselves to these deeper things. And so when we think about doing justice and loving mercy, it's not just about those first two things that I think a lot of times we hear when we hear this call, but it's also about walking humbly with God so that we can do justice and love mercy better. It's not one or the other. It's all of this is what God is inviting us to do. This is what God is calling on the people of Israel to do. This is what we are all being asked to carry out our faith in this humble way that also ultimately says to God, I need you. It's not just about me. So turning back to that question, what does God require of you? Well, the Christian life is about commitments and requirements. It is. It's not always the popular thing to say, but it is about commitments, about transforming our whole lives. It's not about getting it all right now in the immediate, but it is about making a commitment to work towards these things, to getting better. And God is asking us to let go of a life where we focus on ourselves in the way the world tells us we should, and we open ourselves up to open ourselves up to community, and we look at a world of injustice and condemnation, and we dare to dream of a world where we live by justice. Balancing that in the community of faith and the practices that connect us to God and keep us grounded in God, so that as we're doing justice and loving mercy, we are also grounded in the humble spirit of the one who has called us. Turning back to these words, simple words that probably most of us, I imagine, heard before, maybe heard over and over again. We also should hear them as a deep request from God. This is God who loves us and believes in us and believes we can be and do more. God believing that we can attend to doing justice and mercy, whether it's doing the big amazing, incredible things that all of us can name, or the little things. Things like sharing food with the hungry, spending time with the lonely, helping pick up those who have been knocked down figuratively and literally. Remembering that Jesus has shown us great mercy, forgiveness of our sins. We're invited to do the same for others. Which is really hard work. Weeks ago. Mercy is a hard thing to live in. Finding ways to move forward and not to just to show true mercy as it's been shown to us. So we ask again, what does God require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. The people of Israel heard the prophet Micah these words after the case had been laid out of how they had failed to live up to it. But rather than condemning and dwelling on the past, God turns to them and looks to the future and says, what will you do? The agreement remains. The choice is yours to walk in. In the same way, God now turns to us and invites us to find the balance of these things and to adjust our lives accordingly. And there are many answers to that question of what does God require? What does it mean to do justice? What does it mean to love mercy? What does it mean to walk humbly with God? And so I turn the question back to you. How will you answer the call of what is being requested of you?